Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning. I'm Mike Gerhart, and I'm so blessed that you're joining us this early morning. Some things I'd like to remind us all about is that there's a blood drive tomorrow, 10 to 3. If you want to come and see me give blood, you can come at noon. I'll be giving blood tomorrow at the church in Egg Harbor Township. Yes. Also, the Atlantic City Blessing night is happening tomorrow at 8 p.m. So that's Thursday night. If you want to be a part of that, contact those people that are involved. And Saturday, the street team is serving meals from 8:15 a.m. to 10 a.m. Now, call the church office for more details today if you want to be a part of those activities. And of course, Sunday morning worship be at Egg Harbor Township and Newfield and online. So I am Mike Garrett. I know I introduce myself every time. I just hope that if there's someone new, that you would get my name. And I hope your life is a faith-filled adventure. I pray for that. Yesterday morning, Pastor John ended his devotional on Psalm 68 with this thought, and I'm not going to get his words correct, but he said, when we consider all that God has done for us, we should feel an overwhelming sense of awe as we kneel before the Lord in his sanctuary. And that was from the Psalm 68. David ended that psalm with wanting to be in the sanctuary of God. You know, as we all know, nature surrounds us with countless signs of God's wonderful power. His unlimited creativity is seen, and his unspeakable majesty leaves each of us sometimes breathless in his presence. How fortunate we are that God cares for us. You know, I was just talking to my neighbor, and we were comparing sunsets on his phone and on my phone, and the beauty of the colors. Only a God, a divine God, a creative God, could display his majesty that way almost every night. Isn't that a blessing? And that same God cares for you and for me. Well, let's take some time and pray for our time together as we look at Psalm 69 this morning. Father God, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us, especially what you did for our sin, taking care of our sin by sending your son Jesus to die on that cruel cross for us so that our sin is no longer a barrier between us and you. And you took care of that for us. We could not have done it ourselves. Thank you for the blessings of salvation, how you have saved us from our sin. Pray for this time together in your word. We pray this all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Yes, amen. Psalm 69. I love the fact that in our scriptures, often the Psalms have an introduction that they were written for a purpose. And in this one, it says, David wrote Psalm 69, he wrote, for the director of music to the tune of lilies. I don't know what that tune was, but he had a specific song in mind. After he wrote the psalm, he said, this would be good for that one tune, and might have been a tune that had been used for other psalms. So he said, to the tune of lilies. And in this Psalm 69, David pleaded with God to rescue him from the destruction because he bore reproach and rejection by his brethren, by his family, by people that he knew that were in King Saul's court, and he bore this reproach and rejection for the Lord's sake, and he's praying that God would silence the inhumanity of his oppressors. He looked forward to universal praise and restoration. I want to let you know this, that Psalm 69, according to one account, is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament, and it is often applied to the ministry and the suffering of Jesus. For example, verse 4 of Psalm 69 is like John 15. It speaks of Jesus' many enemies, the experience of being scorned by his brothers. In verse 8 of Psalm 69 is expressed in John 7. Verse 9 of Psalm 69 portrays David's zeal for God, and Christ showed great zeal when he threw the money changers out of the temple in John 2. Paul, the apostle, quoted part of verse 9 of Psalm 69 in Romans 15. Christ's great suffering is portrayed in verses 20 and 21 of Psalm 69, as well as in the Gospels. Verse 22 to 28 of this Psalm 69 are quoted in Romans 11. And Peter quoted Psalm 69, verse 25, about Judas in Acts 1. So, this Psalm 69, you'll see a lot of the verses as we go through it will be in the New Testament. And you'll remind yourself that much of this was memorized by the writers of the New Testament and saw them in a prophetic way of fulfilling. In the fulfillment in Jesus' life. Maybe you'll pick that up as we go. Well, let's begin by reading Psalm 69, verses 1 to 3, and then we'll make some application, all right? Psalm 69 begins with, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me. I am worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God." Well, that's so explicit, especially those of us down by the shore here. I was helping a friend put a sailboat in the bay at the JFK Park in Summers Point. And as I got in the water up to my waist, my feet began to sink in the miry mud of the bay, so much that my sandals were disappearing in getting stuck in the mud. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe you went clamming, and I know that's what you're supposed to do, go barefoot, and in the mud you feel the clams with your feet. I can't imagine doing that, by the way. But David is describing getting stuck, even worse, being engulfed in deep waters. David cried out until he was physically exhausted with a parched throat, and his tears just blurred his vision. Yet he still trusted God to save him. When we are devastated by a death or a tragedy, we need not collapse or despair, because we can always turn to a God who loves us and ask him to save us and help us. You know, the tears will still come, the hurt will still be there, but we will not be crying in vain, for we have a God who loves us. Amen. Amen. Well, we're rolling on to verse 4. So let's pick it up in verse 4. "Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I am forced to restore what I did not steal." Wow. Can you imagine having enemies more than the hairs on your head? Well, of course, my hair on my head are getting less and less, and hopefully my enemies are getting less and less. But not to make a joke, David's problem was that he couldn't number his enemies who wanted to destroy him. They hated him for no reason. I believe it might be because King Saul wanted him dead. And so if the king wants David dead, then the whole country wanted him dead. They forced him to give up his possessions, which he did not steal. Have you ever been accused unjustly without cause or reason? Boy, I have been accused as a pastor of stealing money from the offering, of purchasing stuff for the church unauthorized, and lying at the pulpit, all because my accusers felt somehow that I was doing it. They had no evidence. They had no justification for their accusations. There was an investigation. I was not involved in it. And it was almost as if they accused me without reason. What does that do to you when it happens? If it's ever happened to you, what do you feel like when that happens? When you're accused, and it seems like there's no reason for the accusations, there's no justification for it. And yet you're being accused of something that you didn't do. David felt that way. You know what? Our Lord and Savior felt that way. He was being accused of things that he did not do. And he was quiet before his accusers. Again, David felt that pain of being hated by people that he had worked with because they had heard that Saul wanted him dead, and that's all they needed to know. Verse 5, let's pick it up in verse 5, and let's read to verse 12. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. Lord, the Lord Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me. God of Israel, may those who seek you not be put to shame because of me. For I endured scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I'm a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult me fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people play sports of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of drunkards. Wow. All this has happened because Saul hated him. King Saul hated him, and he couldn't even talk to his family because they were turned against him. David in this prayer is asking God to act on his behalf. He was suffering because of his zeal for the Lord, even though he was a sinner. And by the way, he admits his own sin right off the bat. He says, God, you know my guilt. My sin's not hidden from you. That's one thing we can all say. God knows our sin. None of us are perfect. But he was suffering for no reasons that he could think of, except that he was had a zeal for the Lord. He was suffering for the Lord's sake. His own relatives hated him, even though he was had a zeal for the Lord. Their insults were against him, but in the same way it was against God, even though they were directed to him. As a pastor, sometimes being accused of wrongdoing really hurts because it reflects on the church. And when he was in grief, he fasted, a sign of mourning. But his enemies, including the judges who sat at the gate and drunkards, they sang mockingly about him fasting and wearing sackcloth. They didn't even recognize that he was in mourning. Oh, he's doing that just to show off. I can imagine them saying that because it was said of me. He's just doing that to show off. Maybe that has happened to you. People have interpreted What you're doing for the Lord, oh, he's just a religious nut. He really doesn't love the Lord. He's just doing it to show off. It hurts, doesn't it? And I'm sure it hurt David at the time. But notice what he says in verse 13. Let's get back to the psalm. He says, "But I pray to you, Lord, in time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love, in your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I'm in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I look for sympathy, but there was none, for comforters, but I found none. And they put gall in my food, and they gave me vinegar to drink for my thirst." And by the way, do you hear that verse, last verse, and some of the things that he said? It was exactly what was said in the New Testament when Jesus was hanging on the cross. They put gall and they gave him vinegar to drink while he was on the cross. Just as it's prophesied here, David, writing this about himself, was actually making a prophecy about Jesus. Again, in this section, the psalmist petitioned the Lord to save him from the imminent death that he was seeing. In God's timing, literally, the time of your favor and out of your love, your chesed and mercy, God, quickly rescue me and redeem me from this misery and trouble. That's what he was asking. Again, David used the image of the miry waters that would drown him. But David found confidence in the knowledge that God knew of their scorn and their mistreatment of him. God knew about the gall and the vinegar. God knew that he was being treated awfully. And so that helped David. What problems David faced, he was being scoffed at, mocked, insulted, humiliated, made the object of citywide gossip. The judges at the gate, even to the drunkards in the street, were singing songs about his failings, and s songs about how he was hated by the king. You know, when we are completely beaten down, we are tempted sometimes to turn to God, to give up and quit trusting God. When your situation seems hopeless, you need to determine that no matter how bad things become, you will continue to pray to the God you know loves you more than you can understand. And you need to continue to pray because you know that God will hear your prayers and he will rescue you. When others reject you and reject me, we need God the most. Don't turn from your most faithful friend, Jesus. He loves you. He will always love you. And what we endure in this life is predicted in Scripture. You will have tribulation. You will have people who will turn from you, even family members. But our testimony is to be faithful to our God, and to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, right? That's what we're here for, to change the world. Wow. Let's get back to the psalm. We're in Psalm 69. Look at verse 22. He even says, "May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever." By the way, let's stop there. It's an expression of just a burden that's so great that they can't even stand up. Verse 24, pour out your wrath on them, Lord. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. For they persecuted those that you wound, and talk about the pain of those you hurt. Now, I'm going to stop there. Verse 26 is kind of translated in the NIV, and I'm reading from the New International Version here, but it's better translated, for they persecuted him that you have wounded. And they talk about the pain of him that you have brought hurt. What does that sound like? See, Jesus was put on the cross, and he went to the cross because God the Father put him there to be a sacrifice for you and I. And they persecuted Jesus, whom God wounded. And they talked about the pain of Jesus, whom God hurt on that cross for you and me. Wow. Verse 26, another prophetical word about our Lord and Savior. Pick it up in verse 27. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. You know, David was extremely upset with those who were against him. And we can get upset like that. And we can call down curses from heaven on on people that have hurt us. But in the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can have a different attitude. We can have an attitude of grace and mercy. And that is really hard, but that's what God wants. He wants to change our heart. And David had that heart, and we're going to see that. We're not finished with the psalm. As a matter of fact, he has sometimes this idea of retribution and just persecution on those who've hurt him. But then he comes back and he says, at the end of the psalm, he sees mercy and grace is the way. You know, the book of life is not only mentioned here, but other passages. The book of life is God's list of those who are in right relationship to them, to him, and who remain faithful. The New Testament use of the book of life indicates that those who will receive eternal life, Philippians chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 3. And so David is asking, may they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with those who have been made righteous by God. David's curse against his enemies, David prayed that they would own food that would cause their downfall, that their eyes would be darkened so they could not see, that their backs would be bent in grief. He asked that they would be overtaken by God's wrath, and that their residence be made desolate because of their deaths. You know, these punishments that he was asking for were because they persecuted God's people. They made fun of God's people. David has such a zeal for God and such a zeal for the Lord that when that happens, he was so upset with people who would do that. You know, and I'm going to bring it up, but there's a lot of Christians who get upset about the non-Christians who are making fun of the Christians. You know what? They're going to do that. Non-Christians don't like Christians. They're going to make fun of us. They're going to On social media, they're going to just blast us like idiots. They're going to think we're idiots for what we believe. You know what? I expect that. Do you expect it? I hope you expect it. I mean, if Jesus even said, you need to expect that you're going to get persecuted, that the non-Christians are not going to understand who you are and why you believe what you believe. They're going to think you're an idiot. We need to expect that. These punishments that David was calling upon them, you know, he prayed that God would find them guilty. In the Bible, the open up of the books speaks of judgment as the last days, the books will be open. And the point is that if someone is totally away from God and they don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and they are obviously enjoying the evil in their life, they will have no share of God's eternal blessings. And we need to, honestly, we need to love them and literally have pity on them and pray for them. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Love them. Love them into the kingdom. Okay. Let's go to verse 29 of Psalm. We're going to actually, I think we might finish this today. Wow. This is a long Psalm, but let's look at verses 29 to 36. David writes, "But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas, all that move in them, for God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle and possess it, and the children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there." He ends with a vision of heaven. He ends with what we all should be looking forward to, the great kingdom of God that will come. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Haven't we been studying the Lord's Prayer? And no doubt, that's going to happen. And in the meantime, we will be persecuted. David again is praying that in his distress, the Lord would be his salvation and protect him. Confident, David was confident that God would deliver him. And he vowed to praise the Lord. Again, we need to have that confidence. David called for the time when all of creation will praise the Lord's name. As again, we think of the parts of this psalm that so much are a part of the prophecies that appeared in Jesus' life. So this psalm is, almost a prophecy of Christ, but at the same time, much of David's life was a prophecy, or was fulfilled in Jesus' life. David says, "Let your heart revive." He means you will feel glad and joyful. Most people want lasting joy and will try almost anything to obtain it. From scrambling for more money to being involved in sexual escapades. The only genuine source of happiness is God, is a relationship with God who created. He created you and I to have a relationship with Him and Him alone to fulfill us and give us purpose. And we receive lasting joy when we seek Him. Oftentimes I hear about these make money quick routines, and honestly, sometimes it's not so bad to get investing your money in things that will produce more money so that you can give more to the Lord. That's what I keep thinking. If you had more money, would you give more money to the Lord? But if we're trying to find happiness by buying a new car or anything, I still remember bringing home my blue Prius, and of course, one of my sons wanted to take it out on a date night, and of course, brand new car, and of course, you know what I'm going to tell you, and it came back scratched, and what did I do? I went nuts. I said, "Oh my goodness, you brought it back scratched." It's going to get dented. It's going to get scratched. Things are going to break. In this world, we will have tribulation because this world is broken. And yet we can still have a positive outlook because God is going to make it right. And every day he makes my life right. And I can come to him when I sin and fail, and I can be forgiven. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I can start every day with a new outlook. What's God going to do this day? And look for the miracles. Yes, we live in a broken world. Yes, the internet is filled with haters. Haters. And I'm sorry to say that sometimes Christians show their hate. And I don't think Christians should ever show their hate for people. Yes, for the evil one. Yes, for sin. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. We need to direct our praise and to our Lord, and our happiness should come from him and his blessings. How are you trying to find happiness? Are you seeking God to fulfill your life and live as he directs us? And when you do that, I really believe this, that true joy will take over.
We're going to pray out this morning. Hey, Lord, thank you for the message that Mike was giving us today, Lord, and allow us to have true joy take over our lives by allowing us to focus on his love, grace, and mercy, everything he's been doing for us these days. Lord, just reflect on the words that Mike had. He was doing a great job of breaking down each one of the verses in the Psalm today. Line by line, and giving us some life application to bring to the table. Lord, I know that if we focus on Jesus first and others second and ourselves last, we will find true joy in this life. And Lord, that's where I've found my way many times by looking to you during times of trouble. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless everyone on the call today, and let's all have a great day and focus on the Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, guys.